It was during my sophomore year at the University of Toledo that I learned about a free lecture that was going to be available about a Trappist monk and priest. I don't know if I saw the flyer in the dorm or at the student union, but I saw it and I was absolutely intrigued. Not a place perhaps where I was necessarily going to expect to hear about a Trappist monk and priest. And I also remember that free lecture was in the College of Law building, a building I had never been in an auditorium. And this person about whom the lecture was focused was a person by the name of Thomas Merton. I had never heard of Thomas Merton until that moment, and discovered that this was a person that I wanted to get to know a little bit more. I learned that Thomas Merton had authored an autobiography that became a bestseller on the New York Times list. In fact, the first work of spirituality of any kind that ever made the New York Times bestseller list, 1948. That book is called The Seven Story Mountain. Well, the next day, I can remember this vividly, I walked not to the university bookstore, but there was a bookstore at Westgate. It was a really neat bookstore. Thackeray's, that was the name of it. I walked there not knowing if that book would be there, but it was. And I bought it, and I read it in its entirety before the end of the week, The Seven Story Mountain. And it opened an interest to me to learn more about spirituality and to read more of those who had worthwhile contributions to make, like Thomas Merton. In the book, in his autobiography, Merton is unabashed in discussing how worldly and even riotous he was coming of age. He was of no religion. His parents were artists, and he grew up between the United States and in Europe, principally France. And it was while he was attending the University of Columbia in New York City that he was happening to pass by a Catholic church, and he noticed people going in and people coming out. That's what he noticed. He knew nothing about the Catholic faith. He knew a little bit about Catholic architecture from his parents, but nothing about the faith. But he was intrigued, and he was curious enough to walk in. And so he walks into the church, as he tells the story, and he doesn't know what's going on, and only later would he be able to describe it, but on the altar was the Blessed Sacrament. It was adoration that was happening, and he noticed that the people who were in church were kneeling and praying silently. And in imitation of them, he simply knelt. And God touched him. Wholly unexpected, a God that he had never encountered in such a personal way. We call that grace, the power of God touching. And he knew that he was different by that experience. And that experience led him, I've got to find more out about this Catholic faith. And it led him eventually to be converted, to be baptized, and then later to discover a vocation to priesthood that led him to be a priest and a monk in the Trappist tradition. Touched by grace, simply giving God the chance to do it. That's all God needs, is just the chance. Here at Little Flower, in addition to encountering God in the Blessed Sacrament, who we know is not symbolically present, but really present. And here at Little Flower, not only do we have opportunity to encounter God really in the Blessed Sacrament at every Holy Mass, we also make available weekly adoration, where the Blessed Sacrament is placed on the altar for opportunities for people to simply come and to pray every Wednesday, beginning after the 8:15 Mass and continuing till about 7 o'clock at night. And even a couple of minutes that we spend with the Lord in this way are a couple minutes that give God the chance to touch us, in a way that we most need. I'd like to encourage you to come and to spend time with the Lord on Wednesday, however briefly or however long that might be. What do you do when you come to adoration? Well, St. Francis of Assisi was asked that question once. What do you do? You regularly go and you pray this way before the Blessed Sacrament, before God who is really present. What do you do? And Francis replied this way. What does the poor person do when he goes to the rich person's house? Or what does the sick person do when he goes to the physician? Or what does the thirsty person do when they come upon a stream of fresh water? I do, St. Francis says, what they do. I pray. I adore. I love. I pray. I adore. I love.